Mormon Stories Podcast is made possible through the financial contributions of its listeners. To keep it alive and available to future generations, please consider a donation today at mormonstories.org.
So let's talk about this a little bit. Not to interrupt the whole flow of the story, but this is something I think that a lot of people have the perception that the homosexual lifestyle is different from the heterosexual lifestyle in the sense that there's much more promiscuity, that there's less make commitment to long-term relationships, that even long-term relationships seem to be open sexually, or, you know, these are a lot of the ideas or myths or whatever you want to call them about the homosexual lifestyle. So as you've kind of entered that lifestyle yourself, what do you have to say about that? What have you found to be?
I would say that there is everything. I would say that yes, in many ways, in the homosexual lifestyle, there is everything. And there, I would say that there are gay couples that have what is called an open relationship. Now, my question is, how many straight couples are there that can honestly say that they have not been unfaithful to their spouse, and they can honestly say that?
That's somewhere around 40%, I think.
Maybe 40%. Yes, let's say that. In the homosexual lifestyle, I think that is, it may be less than that. But there are, I have met couples that have been together for 20, 30 years, and they have committed, have been committed to each other. So it is, I think that it is what you want it to be. The same way that happens in the straight lifestyle. There are the swingers,
right?
Where there are clubs where you can exchange wives or spouses and have sex that day with somebody else, and then go home and be with your spouse.
Right.
The percent, I agree. I think that there is a little bit more in the gay community. But that doesn't mean that there are not couples that are committed and faithful to each other and love each other and respect each other and like any other couples.
And want to make a life together.
And want to make a life together. Yes, absolutely. And want to have a committed relationship. Of course. So there is, I think there is everything. And I think that in many ways, one, I also think that if the gay lifestyle was something that was more open and more accepted, I think that it would not tend to be so hidden and so mysterious in many ways, because you don't want to be found, or, you know, so you tend to do things that sometimes are secretive because, you know, it they are not acceptable.
Yeah, I think in the interview with Carolyn Pearson, John Dillon was asking her about this, and she said something to the effect of, you know, we expect people to, you know, go live in the gutter, but then not get dirty.
Exactly. Yes, and it is. I think that there is everything in the gay community. Also, I have to say that there is a lot of I think that you would make a great life as a therapist in the gay community.
That I would?
Yes. Because there is a lot of self-image issues, a lot of insecurity issues, mm-hmm. because, you know, if you were teased when you were young and you were insecure and you were, you know,
right.
There are all these things that you grow up, you know, if a young man who is feminine is accepted and loved by not only his family, but also by the community, and accepted the way he is, and he can feel proud of who he is, and he can be happy with who he is, I'm pretty sure that he would not have the issues that he would have when he grows up.
As far as low self-esteem and...
Exactly.
Depression and maybe even suicidal ideation or...
Exactly.
Were you ever suicidal over this issue?
Once. Yes. I was once.
At what point?
When my father sent me to the can I say whorehouse?
Yes, you can.
Okay. If when my father sent me to the whorehouse that I was 14 or 15 years old and I was drunk and I couldn't perform, and everybody in my friends, my schoolmates, because the guy who took me there had a younger brother that was going to school in the same school that I went. Mm-hmm. And he was very sure to tell everybody in my school that what happened. So then he took me to the whorehouse on a Friday. By Tuesday in school, I was being teased about it.
It's horribly traumatic.
You know, and my father never came and said, "Don't worry, son." He never mentioned it. He never said that he paid this young man to take me to the whorehouse. Never mentioned it. But he told me.
And your father knew that you were being teased in this way?
Oh, yeah. Because the guy came and told my father what happened.
Hmm. How did you overcome those feelings in that time in your life?
I think that in many ways you never, you just have to live one day at a time and try to keep living. And like I said, I was not good at sports. I was not, my self-esteem was down to the gutters. I mean, I didn't have a self-esteem. I just tried to concentrate in going to school. I was a geek. I was somebody who was a very good student, and that was the only thing I could do good. And that was the only thing I felt good about it. And I concentrated and said, well, there's this I can do good. I'm going to do this good. But my father never once in his life came and said, "I'm proud of you." Not even once. One time I remember that I got a D in a class when I was in high school. And he came to me and he said, "How dare you?"
So able to tell you about the negatives.
Oh, yes.
But never the positives.
Never the positives.
And I think what you were, I guess, getting at is that some things maybe are not overcome in the sense that they don't stop hurting.
Of course.
But you still chose to live and you still chose to have a productive life and to move forward.
But I remember very vividly that after when I was going through that, we lived in a town where the university was at a walking distance, and the university had a building that was like 6 or 7 floors. I said, I'm going to go to the top floor and I'm going to throw myself.
Wow, so you had a plan and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hmm. And I even said, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to go and do it. And I never did. I never did.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know why not.
Your survival instinct kicked in or something?
I guess. I guess that in many ways I was I was scared to say, well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to. I don't think I was able to do it. It was not in me. It was not in me to do that.
Well, I'm so glad you survived that.
And one of the things that I have to say too is that in many ways I learned from how I grew up, and I can say that right now every time I talk to my kids, I tell them that I love them, and I tell them how proud I am of them all the time. Mm-hmm. And
because you don't want them to feel that way ever.
Exactly.
You know, this is an issue that comes up a lot, you know, when talking about suicide, is that there are many young men and women, both within the LDS faith and outside of it, that when dealing with issues of homosexuality do become suicidal, and many do take their lives because of issues that relate to this. If there's anybody out there listening to us that may be having those feelings, what would you say to them?
This is hard for me. regardless of what anybody will say to them, or regardless of what anybody would tell them, there will come a time when they will feel very proud of themselves, not for what they wear or the way they talk or the way they walk or for what sexual orientation they have or because they want to sleep with somebody of the same sex, is because who they are inside and in their heart. And the bottom line is that it's not worth it. It's not worth it to go through that. Is the easy way out? Anybody who comes and says, I'm going to kill myself, and they kill themselves, is the easy way out. I think that we have a responsibility to show people that regardless, you know, one of the things that I is related to this, but is incredible, is the video that they show on English Got Talent with Susan Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
When she came on stage, there was this overweight, very plain woman, kind of, you know, funny in the wrong way and just making bad jokes. And everybody in the audience and everybody who was watching said, what a joke. This is going to be a joke.
She was socially inadequate.
Yes. But the moment she opened her mouth, all the views that people had of the way she looked, the way she talked, the way she moved, the way she expressed herself, all those things went away. And I believe that every human being has that gift that one day they will be able to wow people.
Be able to shine.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so totally shifting gears again. Okay. Tell me about your second excommunication.
Well, when my ex-wife and I decided to get divorced, I told her that I was gonna, I had to embrace myself and embrace my sexuality and be homosexual, and I decided to live my life as a gay man. So the church came to me and they said, well, you know, you need to go through the repentant process and you need to go through excommunication and you need to come to the court again. And I said, you know, it's useless. You can do the court, but I'm not going to be there because I'm not planning to come back to the church. I am who I am. And I had to go through a lot of mental and spiritual process to understand that this is who I am and I'm happy with who I am. And if the LDS Church doesn't accept me for who I am, then I cannot be part of a church that accepts me for who I am. I am the same loving person that I was before. I am the same caring person that I was before. I am the same person with the same ideals. I just know that I have to be with somebody who is the same sex with me. That's the only thing. And only because of that, all the other qualities that I have, all the other virtues that I have, all the other things that people said that they were wonderful when I was a member of the church, all of a sudden they don't exist anymore.
Do you still consider yourself to be a Mormon? In
No.
the sense of the cultural term or...
No. No, I embrace the church in many ways, and I love the church in many ways, but I don't feel like I am the one who have left the church. I feel like I am the same person that I was before.
And somehow you didn't fit into the church.
Yeah, I don't fit into the church now.
You're about to send a son on a mission.
Yes. I'm very proud of him. And I want him to go on a mission. And he's going to be a fantastic missionary. I know that.
And you're comfortable with your children being Mormon?
Yes. Yes. I am very comfortable with them being Mormon. And I want them to be married in the temple. And I want them to find a spouse that will love them. And I want them to be sealed for time and eternity with somebody. But if for some reason that doesn't happen, I'll be okay with that too. And when I talk to my son, he struggled a little bit about making the decision to go on a mission. And when I talked to him, I said, I don't want you to go to on a mission because of the Mormon church. I want you to go on a mission for you because you're going to grow up in a mission. You're going to mature in those 2 years while you would not grow up in 10 years. That's going to be something that is going to make you be a better human being. That's where I want you to go. But if you choose not to go, I'll respect that, and I'll understand that, and I'll support you on that. But I'm happy he made the decision to go.
Have there been a lot of struggles between you and your ex-wife as far as co-parenting these children, as far as raising them, or that have to do necessarily with your homosexuality or...
Not at all.
Your position with the church.
No, I have never been against the church. I never have told her, do not take them to the church, do not do this, never. I'm always very supportive of that. And I want her to do that, and I still want her to keep doing that. I am glad that they are there. What I hope is that when they grow up, they will be able to have a more diverse knowledge of people, and they will be able to value people not for who they want to sleep with, but who they are as a person. And that's one of the things that I think that is lacking in the Mormon church. I mean, as a Christian, they say, you know, we're supposed to be loving and caring and understanding and everything like that. Well, I don't remember the last time that they have brought a homosexual to church and said, you know, this is a wonderful person, regardless.
Is there any way that you would ever either fantasize or, if things were to change somehow, that you would even consider coming back to church, not necessarily getting rebaptized, but just to be able to enjoy, you know, attendance? Is that even something that you long for or wish for in some way?
If things would change, I would.
How would they have to change?
Well, they would have to come and accept me for who I am.
And what would that mean?
I know that I am an active homosexual, and they would have to let me be who I am in the church. You know what? I cannot go to church, and they're going to say, well, we can come and visit you. Why are you not married? Oh, we know such sister such and such that is single, that she would love to go on a date with you. Or, you know, I wouldn't be able to be baptized ever. Why are you coming to the church for the last 3 years and you are not baptized?
So the expectations would have to change as far as...
Yes. You know, and I'm not asking to come and say, oh, yes, you can have... But at least to be able to say, you know what? I am an active homosexual that is coming to church every Sunday. And I have my boyfriend at home that I'm going to go home to every Sunday and have dinner with and be intimate with tonight.
And what about things like, I mean, is it, do you want the priesthood back? Do you want, you know, those kinds of things where even though you're living in a way that the church doesn't agree with, is that the kind of stuff you want? Or am I hearing more just an acceptance of where you're at and that it shouldn't matter?
No, ideally would be for me to go back in the full membership of the church.
Baptism, priesthood.
Absolutely.
As a homosexual practicing man.
Yes.
Which basically makes the assumption then that your basic beliefs about the church have not really changed that much as far as what brought you to the church to begin with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is, again, it is very easy. I remember when I was being excommunicated and I was in the trial, in the first one, you know, they said, you know, you need to abstain of any kind of relationship with somebody from the same sex. Like, it is like, well, it's so easy to do. And my answer was, I said, well, why don't we make it equal to everybody? And let's say that every member of the church, in order to be members of the church, everybody has to abstain of any kind of sexual behavior. Period. So everybody's equal. Let's see how many people are going to be staying in the church. It's very easy for somebody who is heterosexual to say, you're wrong and you need to stop doing what you're doing and this is what you need to do. So you need to do it. I don't have to do anything. You are the one who needs to change.
So from a purely philosophical perspective then, and kind of going along with, quote unquote, you know, your testimony, do you see this as being something that will be fixed, you know, in the next world? Is this something that, you know, you'll no longer be homosexual in the next world? Or do you see this as just that this will be part of the next world as well?
Right now, I believe that God loves me if I choose to love, respect, honor, and share my life with a man. He's not going to punish me for that.
And that it doesn't matter necessarily then to you what happens in the next world, whether you're homosexual or heterosexual, that
Well, the thing is that I believe that in the next life, I'm going to be where I deserve to be, not because I choose to be, not because I choose to have a relationship with a man. It's because how I have behaved as a human being with others. And how I have behaved with my partner, period. The fact that I choose to be with a man, or no, I not choose, but that I am with, I'm going to be with a relationship with a man or a woman, in my point of view, is irrelevant. It's how that relationship is between us and how I treat others, period. I don't believe that God is going to come and say, well, you, because it doesn't matter that you were loving and caring and understanding and supportive to your partner or your boyfriend, just because you chose to be with a man is horrible. so you're gonna go to hell. I don't believe that.
And following up with that premise, it won't matter then whether or not you're homosexual or heterosexual in the next life, or is it, I guess, I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as what you'll be judged upon, but this idea of, you know, many people think, well, this is just something that will, that's, you know, wrong with you. And so then because in the next life will be perfected, that this will no longer be an issue for you. You will not be a homosexual in the next life. Is that something that you believe or have thought about? Or
no, I believe that I'm going to be who I'm going to be.
Regardless.
I don't think that God is going to punish me because I love a man. I don't believe that.
Right. So the advice that that I think priesthood leadership gave to men in your situation, you know, in the past, was to kind of ignore those feelings, get married in the temple to a, you know, a good woman, and just focus on having a family. That's been shifting lately because of so many people in your situations, you know, where things haven't changed, where people, like you said, tried to be the best member they could be and prayed and fasted and did all the right things, and yet this didn't go away. And so now the advice is, I think it's not to get married.
And that is a very wise advice.
Which then leads me to the next question, which I'm sure is difficult and I'm sure complicated, more complicated than a yes or no, but do you regret getting married?
Oh, no. Not whatsoever. No. No, I had a wonderful relationship with my ex-wife. We enjoy our life together very much, and I had the blessing to have the most wonderful children in the world.
Yeah, so how can you regret that?
Exactly. But on the other side, it is not fair for the other person. I think, I'm not saying that I have met husband and wife couples. Yeah, where the husband is gay and they have had kids and they have lived a good life. And the wife have married him knowing that he's gay.
This is amongst LDS couples mainly, or
no,
couples
no,
in general?
Not in LDS couples. I have seen it in people of other faiths. But they have chosen to get married, and they have chosen to be faithful to each other, and they have chosen to have that life.
Do you think a part of their success is that she knew from the get-go?
Yes. And he knew that he was able to be married and be faithful to his wife. They are not the usual couple, but I have met couples like that.
So what advice would you give to a couple, which I see actually many now, who are in the position that you were once in, where, you know, he is gay and just now coming out to his wife. They've got several children. They've probably been married somewhere between 7 and 20 years. What advice do you have?
The advice that I would give them is that they need to be completely honest with each other, especially if the one who's having the issue of homosexuality is the husband, he needs to be honest, not with his wife, but with himself first. And like I said, I have met couples that are willing and very happy to live a life of maybe not intimacy at all, maybe no sex, and he is okay with that, and he is happy with that, and he doesn't feel trapped, or he doesn't feel scared, or he doesn't feel like he's not going to be able to do that. I think that the first step is for the person who is dealing with the homosexual issues to be honest with him or herself. And find out for him or herself if this is something that they would be able to do and they would be happy doing. Because we can do many things for a long time, but we need to be honest with each other. And one of the things that I thought about when I was married to my wife, I could have stayed married. I could have stayed married until the day that I had to come home one day and say, you know what? I screwed up. I had sex with another guy. And it could have been one day after we made the decision, 1 year after we made the decision, or 20 years after we made the decision. I don't know. But I knew in my heart that it was going to be a matter of time until I was going to fail the standards that my wife and I had for our marriage. I didn't want to live that way. I didn't want to live scared and worried and wondering when that time would have come, when I had to come and say, I failed you again. It is better to be honest with yourself. And everybody's different. Every person is different in their situation. And I think that is much more important for the person that is dealing with this to find out what is going to make them happy and is going to be able and they're going to be able to live a healthy life. If it's living with their spouse because they love their wife, if it's a man, and they'd rather be with their wife because this issue is not such a strong issue, that's wonderful. But if they know that this is something that they will have to deal in everyday basis and it's going to be too much and they're going to be scared for the rest of their life, it's better to say goodbye.
So it sounds like honesty is the common denominator there, the honesty with self, honesty with the spouse, honesty, I guess, with the church, just being able to be in an honest place.
And I think that the first and foremost is to be honest with yourself, mm-hmm. and to know what, you know, there is a lot of pressure in the church to say, to do what the right thing, especially when you have a spouse and you have children. I cannot do this, I cannot do this, and I have to hold on, and I have to hold on, and I have to hold on. And because you want to try to do the right thing, you get to the point where one day you cannot do it anymore.
Well, and the conundrum between doing the right thing and somehow that means being dishonest.
Yes, because you are because you're not being honest with yourself and with your spouse. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself and say, I cannot do this anymore. I can't. And again, every situation is different. I'm pretty sure that there are many couples out there that are able to live a good life, and one of the spouses, because I tell you, that's another thing that we haven't talked about. This is not only a male thing. There is also women who deal with this. And that is even a worse situation, because that is not even expected from a woman.
We don't even talk about that.
Exactly. And that is even, I cannot imagine a woman, maybe a member of the church with a husband and kids, that is struggling with these issues. But the first thing is to be honest with yourself and not go through the process, because is what is expected and is what the church expects and is what your wife expects or your spouse or is what your children expect, because then it can be very dangerous. It can be very, very dangerous, because you get to one point one day that you say, I cannot do this anymore.
Meaning this is when people become either suicidal or do something that is much more risky, or
exactly
something they would normally not maybe do if they would have mm-hmm. been just able to be more upfront about their feelings.
Exactly.
Or their... And I think what you're referring to also is this, do we want to have this be an issue of a fear?
Like, yes.
It's, should fear be the motivating factor here? And I think for, unfortunately, many times it is. People stay, people do what they're expected to do. And when you really go down to the base emotion, it's being afraid. I mean, this is a scary thing to be honest about.
Oh, yes. Especially when you're told that you're going to go to hell if you do what you know, in the Mormon church, they say, well, if you act in your desires, you're not gonna go to heaven. You're gonna go to hell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is a lot of expectations being LDS to do the right thing, and unfortunately, that can come to a situation where the person is not honest with anybody, just because it's too much expectation for them to do the right thing. It's important to be completely honest with yourself.
And living in a situation where you can't be honest is a personal hell all of its own.
Oh, absolutely. Like I told you, it got to the point for me where summers were horrible for me. I regretted summers all the time.
So where are you at now?
What do you mean where I am now? I am a happy gay man.
You have come to a peaceful place with yourself.
I have come to a peaceful place with myself. I realized that in many ways I am the same person I was before in almost every way. The way I do things haven't changed. The way I treat people haven't changed. The way I haven't changed in many ways. I haven't changed. But one of the things that is important is and a word of advice, you as a therapist not only help somebody to realize who they are, but help them to accept themselves for who they are.
That's one of the questions I had, was what advice would you give me?
Well, one of the things that, I would say help them not only find themselves, but help them be happy with who they are. I mean, the fact that you want to share your life with somebody who happens to be from the same sex doesn't make you a horrible person, or doesn't make you a criminal, or doesn't make you any different than the person who lives next to you who happens to have a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex.
Well, and on those lines, I just want to offer, I don't know, may my feelings of privilege that you entrusted me with your story back in the day, and along with that, an apology maybe for any way my inexperience or my my own biases or whatever failed you.
I don't think that there's any, you don't have to apologize for anything, because, you know, Sister Parker, I had the same goals that you had. I went in hoping that I would change. And so that is not an issue for me at all. No, you were the right person for us. You were the right person for me. I don't have any regrets whatsoever with that time. I felt very comfortable with you. You helped me tremendously in the times that I needed it. And you never, ever, ever, and I can say ever, forever, criticize me or look at me in a different way or look me down at all. And you were so young, but you were so wise. I don't have any regrets at all, not whatsoever. No, you were the right person for me. And if I would do it, if I had to do it again, I would look for you.
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And you were the right person for me. And in many ways, you know, the teacher becomes the student, right? Is that?
Well,
that's
I don't know. And I have to tell you, I don't know whoever hears, whoever is going to hear this, but I want you to know that if you ever find somebody that would need somebody to talk to, that you think that I would be able to help in any way I can, I would be more than happy.
Thank you for that offer. That's very kind of you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to finish then this fabulous interview with you that I'm so grateful you decided to do with me, with the question of, are you at peace with your God?
Oh, yes, very much.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and your relationship with him, her, them, however you see that?
Well, I see my Heavenly Father having changed. He's the same one that I had when I was LDS. He is the same being, the same God that I had before. The difference is that I understand that he loves me. And the expectations that he has in me are not who I'm going to make dinner for, or who I'm going to share my bed with, or who I decide to embrace and love in my personal day-to-day relationship as a spouse of somebody. I realize that his expectations are how I behave as a human being with anybody out there, including my partner or spouse or whatever you want to say. That is what he expects me, is how I'm going to behave and how I'm going to be with other people out there. I'm going to be kind and loving and respectful. And am I going to try to do my best? And yes, that includes try to do my best as a partner for somebody. And try the same way that a man tries to make his wife happy, is my duty to try to make my spouse happy. The only difference is that my spouse happens to be the same sex. But he is the same one that I had before. Nothing has changed. He is very loving and caring, and I know that in my heart. And I wish that many people who are struggling with this would see that. That when the time comes, they will be asked how they behave as a human being. No, they are not going to be asked who they chose to live with as a companion. As long as they respect that companion and love that companion and cherish that companion and try to make that companion happy. That is my God now.
Well, Marcos, I can't thank you enough for being willing to talk, I know, about such very sensitive and even confidential things. And with, I know, your goal as well to reach out to others in similar situations and, you know, hopefully send out messages of hope and love and all those things that I think we want for our fellow brothers and sisters. So thank you so much for being here today and for accepting this invitation that I offered you.
Well, I tell you that it's an honor for me that you chose to talk to me. You remember that I am your fan number zero, because I'm not your fan number one. I'm even more than number one fan for you. I think you are fantastic. And whoever get in touch with you is gonna be very blessed to have you.
Oh, well, you're making me blush now, so but thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Mormon Stories. To comment on this episode or to discuss it with others, please check us out online at mormonstories.org. If you want to find other friends, family members, former missionary companions, or ward members who approach Mormonism like you, consider adding me, John DeLynn, as your Facebook friend. This may seem like a strange idea, but many of my closest friends have discovered that they are not alone in their thoughts or feelings or family or even a ward situation through discovering mutual Facebook friends. Finally, to keep Mormon Stories alive, please consider a donation at mormonstories.org. Music on this episode was provided by Clayton and Sky Pixton.